Naomi Perry at Swinburne University's Centre for Psychopharmacology. And you may have spotted that her accent isn't quite typical of Melbourne. In fact, hundreds of our PhD students come from overseas, and that's a very good thing. Just listen to Dr. Tom Trull of CSIRO in Hobart, who runs their PhD program, again, drawing on all nations.
Absolutely. We draw them from Asia, Europe, North America, across Australia, New Zealand, pretty much, I think, something like 30 countries.
And why do they come here?
I think there are two reasons. One is that we have access to the Southern Ocean, which is currently a very big aspect of global ocean studies because it's such an important player in the climate system. The other one is the uniqueness of the program in that it directly links a national research agency with an educational institution. So they get both exposure and participation in cutting-edge research and their classic academic environment.
And when they come from all over the world, do they fit in fairly quickly?
We've definitely got some ghettos. There's a French ghetto. There's a growing Chileno ghetto. These are the people you see every day having their lunch with each other. Seems like a very happy setting. And so I think they both find enough critical mass in the program that they find people of like minds. And I would say overall, yes.
Well, one of the reasons we've been running PhD students for some months on the Science Show is to indicate two things. First of all, the sheer enthusiasm of these young minds getting on with the beginnings of their scientific careers and so on, but also the sheer range of what they're doing. You know, the other week we had a young woman from the University of New South Wales who goes up to elephant seals and other creatures in Antarctica and sneaks up, scrapes their bums with a swab, and tries to work out what the microflora, as they call them, you know, the bacteria and other things that there are in their guts, and therefore how their immune system works. You know, and there'll be another PhD person working on how you make new materials out of spider webs or something. You know, it's fantastic. You've got that similar range here?
I think we do. You certainly don't shy away from hazardous duty. We've got people trying to vomit birds. We've got people trying to put tracking devices on sharks. We've got people delving into the deep nonlinearities of seawater equations of state. So we range from theoretical to field work, and I think we range from the lower reaches of the atmosphere to the deeper reaches of the deep sea. So it's very broad, and I guess that's the other thing about how people fit in, is it's a program that demands breadth. So unlike most PhD programs in Australia, we actually demand that the students take courses, and courses outside their specialization. So we're trying to produce both world-leading scientists and ones that are aware of the disciplines around them are not too narrow.
But I must pick up that you're making birds vomit, presumably to see whether they've got plastic in their stomachs.
Plastic is one thing, and certainly a growing issue, marine debris. And it's not just contained to the North Pacific, where we think of it as a big garbage patch. It's a growing problem in the Southern Hemisphere. But we also vomit them just to see what they've been eating and so how they fit into the food web. And we're interested in issues like if sea ice retreats in a warming climate, will we switch from a penguin krill ecosystem to a seabird copepod? That's another small but different zooplankton than krill.
Yeah. Now, PhDs used to be an alien course in places like Britain. They thought it was a German invention and quite unnatural. Then they agree that they should have doctorates, and in Oxford and Cambridge they'd say, look, here you are for 3 years, go and find this out and come and see me 3 years afterwards, you know, just get on with it. Whereas you say you're doing a course as well. Now, this is more an American thing, isn't it? We actually have some sort of curriculum routine as well as the research program.
Uh-oh, I think you've spotted the accent. I am a Yank, and there were a number of Yanks involved in setting up this course, but the demand for it came squarely from CSIRO, the National Australian Agency. It does try to meld the best of both worlds, so keep the tight focus, keep the period short, keep the enthusiasm alive, and don't have it go off into the kind of never-ending bitterness of an American PhD like I went through, but get some courses in there. So we've come up with a short course format. They're an intensive week. They'll take six of them of their PhD. Five of those are pretty much prescribed, and the last one's an elective. So we're trying to meld the two. It's not always easy going. It's a load on students, given that we are still demanding them to do a really high-quality research thesis at the same time.
But nonetheless, you're investing a huge amount in these young people who presumably many of them go back So what's in it for Oz?
Oh, a heck of a lot's in it for Oz. First of all, while they're here, and I say while they're here, about half of our students come from overseas. While they're here, they do cutting-edge research, and they bring in a different perspective, different training than our local students. So they really are fertilizer for our domestic students. And then probably out of the half that come in, maybe a third or as many as a half at least spend a few more years here, and some finish their careers here.
So we keep the investment. Dr. Tom Trull is director of the quantitative PhD program at CSIRO in Hobart.